We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler, live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. He is in a northern town. He is in Toronto, Canada. There were some people that thought we were lying about that. All they have to do is see you on our social media pages at 105.7 FM, The Fan, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, and we'll throw some stuff up there on Instagram. Chuck in Canada, brought to you by Hupie and Abraham, the Q Club of Wisconsin, and her friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Also, if you watch some of the post game, you'll see the 105.7 FM, The Fan mic flag. You'll see frames all over Canada. Is there anything you can do right this second to prove that you are in Canada for our radio listeners?
No, not at all. But I was at the game last night.
There's not like a Mountie you can put on air quick or a moose?
No. I'm doing the show up at the hotel room right near the airport. I can tell you, going
you can't
customs,
get like service to come up there and speak French to you as they serve you ham and eggs?
No. You know, I mean, this town's a mixed bag. There's a lot of, foreigners in this town, I'll say. You know, we play foreigner on the show. But,
Someone tweeted me last night, Chuck is a foreigner to the show, as you are in a foreign land.
I'm a foreigner up here to them.
Yeah.
Because I'm a foreigner to them. Yes, that'd be true. But, no way to prove it.
It feels like the first time.
Let's look at my videos. Yes, I witnessed in person Giannis's 5-16. Performance last night.
You mean you got the witness in person, Chris Middleton going 3-16?
And Bledsoe, 3-16, and Mirotic, 3-11. But how does Giannis go 3-16 from the field, yet 23 rebounds? He did it on the defensive end, but couldn't get out of his own way or in anybody's way on offense.
Yeah, if you go to any website and look at the box score and just kind of have the numbers up, there's sevens and fours and threes, and there's just a big 23 that pops out at you.
How about that?
For his rebounds.
And then you go to the turnovers, 8 turnovers. Giannis, come on, no way.
Yeah, that was bad.
8 turnovers.
Gordon's Fisherman. Yeah, Gordon, there is a fish, something fisherman.
The Gordon Kress Company, I heard of that.
That too.
Gordon Fleisch Company, yes it is. Gordon Fleisch used to be a part of the PGA.
I tweeted last night three things that I didn't want people to be doing. One, having the conversation about Middleton making the max. I didn't want people to do that right now. Seems like I can't stop them. Seems like that will continue to happen here on the show today. I also said tweeting anything with the word Scott Foster in it. So he was one of the refs last night. People upset about the refs. I didn't want that to be the conversation. But that seemed to be the conversation. Also, I'm sick of people saying, hey, you've never seen Game of Thrones, you should watch it. And then they live tweet it like it's sports. So thank God that series is finally over.
Oh, is it done finally?
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah.
And everybody's mad about it.
I'm glad you don't watch it because I don't watch it. And I don't have any interest in talking about it.
No.
And I'm telling you, I run into people too. They say, oh, you ought to watch this. But if you watch it, you'll really get into it.
No, we're a sports show. We're not spending 30 minutes on the Game of Thrones finale.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're not doing, just because there's game in the title, we ain't doing that either.
No.
We're talking Bucks, we're talking Raptors, we're talking Game 3, and how the Bucks went to double overtime despite all those stats we just gave you. They were in this game. They just couldn't really get over that hump. I think when we talked last week a lot, the phrase was punch in the face with Celtics-Bucks. The phrase you're hearing a lot today is couldn't get over the hump because, well, the Bucks couldn't. They had plenty of chances to take a lead. They were tied plenty of times. They were down 1 or 2 points plenty of times, took 3-point shots, missed. There were so many possessions. I'd say off the top of my head, there were at least 15 possessions where the Bucks had the chance to take the lead and they couldn't get a shot to fall. And then Toronto would extend it. Finally, after 2-0, the Bucks did retake the lead at 105-103. But by that time, the guys were in some foul trouble and Toronto was able to take the lead again and then keep it that way. It just seemed like if the Bucks could get a lead, they could win this game. They pushed it to a couple overtimes without even taking a lead at any point until that second overtime, I do believe. So it was a frustrating game by all accounts. I think as far as a Bucks fan goes, this maybe was the most frustrating game that I've watched, if not in a long time ever, just because there's that goal, and it's like Charlie Brown with the football. Every time you think you're finally going to kick it, you know, Lucy takes it away from you, and it felt like that continually last night.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most frustrating playoff games that I've seen in the Bucks. I mean, you know, there's a large gap of no playoff games or intriguing playoff games, but, you know, I'm thinking back to the 70s and the 80s, and, you know, there was a little run with the Pacers and the Sixers, obviously, 2001, but that's one of them. This is a frustrating game. You know, you look at, you know, there's probably maybe one or two things that came out good of last night's game, namely George Hill played well and Malcolm Brogdon, but, I mean, the team as a whole, they were 22 of 33 for the free throw line, 67%. That's not good enough as an NBA team. Shooting 67% for the free throw line. And Giannis, 2 of 7. Again, I don't know if I want to harp on this, but I don't want to feel your reaction on this, but when he goes to the free throw line, you just don't feel like, boom, he's going to knock both of those down. I feel like, man, if you just get a split of those free throws, and I hate feeling that way about the best player in the league, but, man, the guy can't hit free throws.
When's the last time you saw a free throw get airballed?
Yeah, I mean, he's too good of a player to be doing those sort of things. And I know he works on it. He works and he works and he works. But when he's going to the free throw line, and he missed two. He went back-to-back misses, and I think it was in the overtime, or it might have been late fourth quarter. Back-to-back misses, yet they had a tap out and kept possession. But those are killers right there. And not only on the scoreboard, but they're killers to your team when you're at the free throw line and, you know, it just kind of cuts the heart out of you when you can't make a free throw.
414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Dana is in Cudahy. Dana, thanks for hanging. How are you?
Hey, Dana.
I'm good, fellas. Before I forget, I was wondering if you guys could look up points off turnovers for me. I couldn't find it in the box score. And I'll say what I want to say. Everybody is calling, and they're ripping Middleton, and they're ripping Bledsoe, and I'll be the first to tell you neither one of those guys deserves the money they probably get. But that's what the market is dictating. And also, it was so much about the team last night. The team played terrible. Miritich was sitting. Everybody was terrible. So we can't just call and single out Middleton and single out Bledsoe. Yes, they played bad, but everybody played bad. 10 missed free throws, 20 turnovers in the double overtime game. That's all you need to talk about. Either way it goes, Giannis won't have that bad of a game. Next game, Middleton will probably play better. So will Bledsoe. Miritich might hit an open shot. I think our chances are good. We in game 4. Come back to the city and close it out.
Bucks actually had more points off turnovers, 21. Toronto had 16.
Yeah. Norman Powell also inserted himself into the series. Played well, and we've seen him. You know, we saw him 2 years ago, but Powell decided to play last night, 7 of 13 in his 29 minutes and 19 points off the bench. He's the only guy who played well for them off the bench. Serge Ibaka didn't give him anything off the bench. Fred VanVleet, that guy can shoot as much as he wants. Fred VanVleet can shoot every time he gets his hands on the basketball. That guy's been terrible.
What is Norman Powell's deal? Like, he's a role player, but then against the Bucks, he's like the greatest thing ever. And this happened 2 years ago, and now it's happening again today. I mean, he barely played in the Sixers series.
Yeah, well, he didn't play very well in the first two games. Or at least, you know, he wasn't an impact player, but he sure was last night. Very, very impactful that game last night, and I don't get it. But they needed that off the bench. They needed his minutes, but, you know, the Raptors didn't get great bench play at all. Other than him, they had just 8 points off the bench. The Bucks thoroughly outscored them off the bench, but the Raptors starters thoroughly outplayed the Bucks starters.
Mike's in Franklin at 799-1250. What's up, Mike?
Morning, guys. Before the series started, I predicted Bucks in 5. But I think the series is kind of playing out the way I thought it was going to. Let's give the Raptors some credit. They definitely beat up on Giannis, but you're also never going to see, you know, the Bucks starting lineup. Three of the guys have such poor shooting nights, so I expect them to fully recover in Game Three and take. Game four and take Game Four and then come back home and win it. So I just don't see the Raptors coming back, especially not winning four games in a row, and I certainly don't expect the Raptors to shoot as poorly as they did in the next couple of games.
Bucks definitely got to come back, Bart, and win on Tuesday night, because then it's definitely it's a series again if Toronto wins. Now you hope this one then kick start some life back into the Raptors, but Bucks have to come out, and as he mentioned, I said that earlier too, you're not going to see Bledsoe, Middleton, and certainly not Giannis combine to have the horrible performance you did last night. That's not going to happen again.
When we were kicking around how we thought the series would go, I think what we mapped out was, okay, the Bucks will win the first two at home. I think we felt pretty confident in that. Mm-hmm. And then Game 3, they could lose Game 3, but then the Bucks would draw on what they've drawn from all year, and that's their resiliency after a loss. They get offended when they lose. And if you saw any of the shots of Giannis last night in overtime after he fouled out, he was just sitting there stewing. And as you mentioned in the postgame, he was sort of the same way, just really soaking it all in, soaking in that feeling. You had said that it almost looked like he had lost Game 7 of the finals. So the Bucks have been very good at responding to losses, losing, I think, just once back-to-back the Utah-Phoenix trip. And then they've been very good at when a team did beat them, the next time they would play them, they would beat that team. That's what they did against the Celtics. They took Game 1, and then the Bucks were resilient the rest of the way. And that's ultimately why I say it's going to be so hard for any of these teams to beat Toronto, or to beat Milwaukee, rather, Toronto, this team now, to beat them four times in seven games. Because, yeah, the Bucks, were they a regular season team? Sure. But those things that they did in the regular season are good to do in the playoffs. Not losing back-to-back, responding to teams when they beat you. So I feel comfortable that they'll win Game 4. I think they're one and a half point favorite tomorrow night. I feel good that they'll win Game 4. And then if you get Game 5 here, well, at Fiserv Forum, I think another opportunity to clinch, I think they'll take advantage of that. If the Raptors do win Game 4, then the whole sort of feeling on the series may shift a little bit. Toronto's been the team that I thought, if anyone's going to stop the Bucks, it could be Toronto. Yet if it's going to take everything out of Toronto and a really bad performance out of Milwaukee, just a scratch and claw for a win, you've still got to feel pretty good about their chances. You can feel really good about the Bucks in five. Like, I still feel very good about the Bucks in five. That being said, I am very frustrated about last night's game.
Yeah, here a few things. You know, when these national guys, and I think Colin Cowherd said this, well, the Bucks are a good regular season team. Well, I mean, you're telling me that doesn't translate to the postseason?
Which he said before the postseason, as if it was an insult.
Yeah, it is. It is an insult, and it's just, is that him saying that, or did somebody tell him? Who told him that? I mean, is he making? Because where does he get that from?
One of his writers. I don't know.
Where does anybody get that from? Well, hey, the Bucks are going to be exposed to the postseason. I mean, yeah, I know the postseason.
He gets that like everybody got it. They were all in on Boston. Everybody's been all in on Boston this year.
Yeah,
so you were looking for reasons to dispute the Bucks, and the only reason there was to dispute the Bucks was that they were good. And so you had to twist that somehow.
And I don't know how you couldn't, because how can you dispute the Bucks, because you know, they've won so many games by double digits. And you look at the postseason. Yeah, you look at the postseason. This is their second loss. This is their first road loss of the postseason. How about that? This is their first road loss. So they're 4-1 on the road. Pretty good to be 4-1 on the road. And to be what now? 9-2 in the postseason? That sounds like the regular season is transferring to the postseason. You know, they lost last night. But still, I just thought that was just an insanely stupid comment to say your regular season doesn't translate to the postseason. So you become a different team in the postseason. You're just not going to do the same things. It's just dumb.
A ton of great tweets coming in from you guys that we want to get to at 105.7 FM The Fan. You can reach out Facebook as well on 414-799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. And want to thank everybody that's jumped on board. The best Bucks coverage as Chuck Freeman is in Canada, including Robert Hack Diamonds. If Milwaukee wins the title, your jewelry is free. Shop by May 25th. Robert Hack Diamonds in Greenfield, Glendale, and roberthackdiamonds.com. Chuck, can you look around your shoulder? Do you see anybody in your room there? Anybody following you at all?
Oh, God. That's Stephen Newsman.
We'll have a report from Stephen Newsman as Chuck Freeman's in Canada next.
This is Stephen Newsman with another Chuck Freeman in Canada update. After arriving in what Freeman has recently described as a worthless country, Chuck was pleasantly surprised to see that this was one of the few days of the year when it wasn't snowing. He thought this would be a good omen for his trip and for the Bucks' chances in Game 3. Unfortunately, it was not. First, Chuck saw a sign for poutine and thought, boy oh boy, does that sound tempting. When he stepped inside, however, it turned out this was just a restaurant, and the chef ruined his french fries and cheese curds by dumping gravy all over them. Thank you next, Chuck said to the waitstaff. Soon after, he reminisced with his former producer Cody Rhodes, telling stories of how inferior Ryan Horvat has been as a producer and how the egotistical Horvat thinks that the 15-minute show he did last Friday was the highlight of the Chuck and Winkler program. At the arena, Chuck ran into Drake, with the hip-hop superstar telling Freems what a big fan he was of Chuck and Winkler. Chuck replied, I don't know today's music player. That's what makes me Freems, man, and continued on walking. To cap off a bad day in Canada, Chuck's Bucks lost Game 3, and Chuck is now running on about 3 hours of sleep. Here's hoping Chuck's Canadian adventures improve from here, folks. We've got more to come. This is Stephen Newsman, Channel 4!
Stephen Newsman, he is our reporter dedicated to following you, Chuck Freeman.
Do I have some explaining to do on that? The Ryan Horvat thing, that's news to me. I don't remember running down Horvat, but Newsman's pretty accurate. Yeah, the other stuff with Drake. Yeah, I ran into Drake last night. Big fan of Chuck and Winkler. And I just said I don't know who you are, but thank you for listening to my show.
You know, Drake needs to sit his ass down, too.
I saw that on Twitter.
He's, like, on the court. Like, he's a coach.
Yeah. Yeah. I think some of
Then he's doing the bye-bye to Giannis when he fouls out. Come on.
Yeah. Man. I think some of the Bucks players got a little frustrated at that a little last night. I'm just saying. I think I overheard some guys mentioned about that in the locker room and not too happy with because he was kind of calling out some of their players, our players. Drake was calling out our players last night.
Yeah, he's like the new Spike Lee.
He's calling Brooke Lopez soft. He was calling Brooke Lopez soft.
So while they're playing, Drake's yelling at them?
Yes, one of those things. Yeah, calling them soft. You know, sit your ass down.
Sit your ass down.
Yeah,
Aubrey exactly. Graham.
Yeah, so he was doing that, but I had heard even you could tell on TV a little bit more than in person, but yeah, it sounds like he was pretty vocal and all that last night, but that's the least of the Bucks' worries.
Carl's on the South Side, 799-1250. You guys can chime in 414-799-1250. That's Chuck on Bart. Bucks lose 118-112 in double overtime last night. It's a 2-1 advantage still for Milwaukee. Game 4 tomorrow night. What's up, Carl?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all feeling?
What's good?
Listen, honestly, I wasn't going to talk about the officiating, but it was so bad and so one-sided, man. Like, we have to talk about it. At one point in time, I don't know if you guys remember, during the tip-off, I believe it was like in the fourth quarter or something like that, when they did like a jump ball between Giannis and Kawhi, the referee literally leaned the ball over to favor Toronto. And I was just like, come on, man. You got to be kidding me. Every time when the Bucks ran down the court, they swallowed the whistle. It was like every possession for Toronto was on the line. But besides that, I really think that we need to figure out a different game plan to get Giannis to the basket. If we're going to get him to the basket, guys got to knock down their shot. I think that if it took two overtimes to beat us, I'm not worried. I think that we tend to, get a little overexcited when we lose games like this. But the Bucks have been the Bucks all year, man. And I'm telling you, I think that they just wanted to win it up in Milwaukee. I don't think that they wanted to win it in Toronto. I know how crazy that
Game 5
sound.
Money. Game 5 money.
No, that's not true. Not true. They want to get. They don't care where they win it. They want to go to the finals. Doesn't matter.
I'm saying they can go to the finals, but it's for the fans, man. I'm telling you, I don't believe that they wanted to win it up in Toronto. Why? Case in point, Drake sucks.
All right, let's just throw that out there. This guy is terrible for the culture. And, I mean, for him to all of a sudden be a Bucks fan, I could have sworn at one point he was a Cavalier fan or something like that. This guy switched teams like it ain't nothing. But all I can say is, man, Bucks in five. Let's just relax. It took him two overtimes and 52 minutes from Kawhi Leonard, you know, to actually give us something. Like, come on now. The Bucks, man, let me say this.
Kyle, you can say as much as you want. I'm enjoying your call.
Okay. Well, start Brogdon, man. I love Bledsoe. I love what he does. He's a bulldog. He attacks. But if you don't start Brogdon and Hill, I call George Hill Grandpa Steph Curry because he looks just like Steph Curry, but he looks like a grandpa version of him. This guy, I mean, has redeemed his career. And, I mean, him, Slivasova, guys like Mirotic, those guys have been the focal points, and I'm telling you, they're not going to have another off game. Game four, look for the Bucks to win by 25 points. Book it.
You know, I think there's people thinking that Brogdon should start in this game or going forward, but it doesn't really matter. Him coming off the bench or him starting, he's still going to play his minutes. He played more than Mirotic last night. He played nearly 37 minutes. Mirotic played 29. So the whole who starts thing, I've never really looked at it as a big deal. I've always looked at it as, hey, it doesn't matter who starts. It's a matter of who's out there and trying to finish the game for you. So, and they're going to go with the players who are playing well. And Mirotic wasn't playing well last night, and Brogdon was. But, yeah, selfishly, as far as the home court thing, Bart, we all want them to see. I thought that the good thing part about last night losing, if there is one, hey, you know, they have a chance to win it on their home court on Game 5 if they win Game 4, which is pretty cool to win, just like if the Brewers would have won Game 7 of the NLCS at home to go to the World Series. Pretty cool to celebrate like that in your home court, but, you know, the Bucks would take it in four.
Yeah, and every bar and restaurant and taxi driver in Milwaukee, you're mad for like 0.3 seconds when you realize, oh, that means another home playoff game for the Milwaukee Bucks. Carl also brought up the officiating. I'm Bart, Chuck, Ryan Horvath alongside with us again today, the guy you were running down yesterday to Cody Grant in Toronto. Horvy, you thought on the officiating that Giannis maybe not getting the same kind of treatment as others of his stature?
Yeah, I don't think he's getting the MVP calls. I was frustrated the way he fouled out. You know, you wouldn't see LeBron James foul out that way. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant wouldn't foul out that way. I know there was a game back in 2013 when LeBron was with the Heat. It was a game four. They lost to the Celtics. It went to overtime as well, and it was the first time in LeBron's career in the playoffs that he'd actually fouled out. I think he's only fouled out in his entire career 8 times. So put those numbers into effect. 8 times in his entire career. I mean, that call goes both ways, right? And I know on the broadcast, I believe it was Reggie said, if you're in Milwaukee, Giannis gets that call on the charge. But I feel no matter where you are, when you're a superstar, you should get that call. You don't foul out the other team's best player, the potential MVP of the league, like that, and then protect 50-year-old Marc Gasol, who I saw foul out of that game about 4 times. Like, they were protecting Marc Gasol at the end of the game, but not Giannis. And I didn't like that. I mean, the guy's the superstar of the league. I just feel like if you watch any other series, they're protecting the players. Like, when's the last time you saw James Harden foul out of the game? You know, Kevin Durant.
I can never understand why home teams, they get the benefit of the call. But Reggie's right. And he knows because he's been there. And, yeah, I don't get it. Like, the home teams, man, somehow they always get the benefit. If that was at home, yeah, that'd be an offensive foul. I don't get why. The home teams get the benefit when there's a 50-50 call. It always goes the home team's way.
Because these refs are so, you know, it's human nature. And when you're getting yelled at all game, you're getting yelled at all game, and you can make a big call and get the entirety of the 18,000 fans to cheer for you, you make that call.
I asked Dick Bester, who's a referee from Fond du Lac, and he's a former Big Ten official, officiated the game that Bobby Knight threw the chair in back in the day. And I said, do fans influence the officials? He said, they certainly do for what you said there. And just like they get caught up in the emotion.
No ref will admit that, but it's subconsciously, even if they don't think they're doing it, at times they do it.
He told me that you get caught up in that, and, you know, when you give an and one call, you give a little extra kick in the and one call.
Yeah.
Just that sort of thing. It shouldn't be that way, but human emotion plays into it. It just kind of just, boom, you get, you're not going to make the same call on the road for a team as you would at home for them. But I think that's what happened with Giannis.
Right, and the thing is, though, and we see it all the time in the regular season, and in fact, it's a topic that's been brought up a lot. If you pay the money to go see your favorite player like Giannis in Milwaukee, you don't want to see him pick up two early fouls, three early fouls, and then sit for the entire first half. So they protect players. And I saw it, there was one instance last night. I don't know if Gasol had four fouls, five fouls at the time, but there was a whistle under the basket. And I forgot who took the foul for him, but the foul was clearly on Gasol. So I just feel like you foul out Middleton right there. You could foul out Bledsoe, but you just not the league MVP. You don't call the sixth foul right there.
Yeah, they say that about Michael Jordan. And I forgot what NBA player said that. He said, you know, Jordan's not going to foul out of this game because he was frustrated because Jordan, you know, looked at the box score and he had two fouls. He said, Michael's not going to foul out because, you know, everybody loses money. The guy who sells popcorn loses money. The guy who sells beer loses money. Fans go home. They want to see Michael in that game. You know, NBA doesn't want to see Michael fall out, and I think that's what it is. You know, yep. But Giannis hasn't got to that level apparently yet, though.
Which I don't know, you know, what it's going to take for him to get there. He's going to be the MVP,
mm-hmm.
and the NBA's realizing that he's a great guy to build around.
It did take Michael a few years. Remember, it took him 7 years, I believe, to win his first NBA title. So it might take. May take Giannis, you know, this is, what, sixth or seventh season? Should be right about now that he gets these superstar calls.
Do you think it's the way he plays the game also, too, under the basket? You know, I mean, he's a seven-footer, so the way that you're officiating him, obviously they have to play Giannis physical when he's under the basket. I mean, they're pulling him down, they're grabbing him, whereas Michael, I mean, it's... If Michael's getting fouled on top of the perimeter, you're going to see it, clearly. Or if he's pushing off, you're not going to
call it. I mean, I've seen Harden in these playoffs elbow a guy... Who then
fell down under
the basket, and then he just laid it in, and the refs didn't even like look at their whistle to even think about a call. And the other thing we haven't talked about yet is how all of the NBA Twitter was divided on if Giannis traveled or not on one of those Euro steps he did, where you've got some people saying, oh, it's certainly a travel, and no, he gathered and then took two steps. And so Giannis is just, he's able to... get through space differently than we've ever seen anybody do that before, and he does play differently than superstars that these refs might be used to, so it may take a while for them to catch up.
Well, that Euro step, I thought it was like a Euro, Europe, and South America, and Asia, because there was like 15 steps, and it's like...
So a Eurasian step.
It was like and all the continents, Bart.
Like Pangea. It was
everywhere.
Pangea step.
But Kawhi got away with a double dribble, too.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, I mean, that was borderline. And the fans, of course, you know, he goes on the road and does that. The fans just are all over him. A couple of times in the gym last night here in Toronto, you know, the MVP chants were going, but it was for Kawhi. It was weird to be on the road and hear MVP chants with Giannis on the court. But they were all toward Kawhi.
Did the Pangea reference, do you guys know what Pangea is either?
No, I let it slide because I didn't know.
Oh, Horvat, do you know what Pangea is?
No.
Pangea is when all the continents used to be together before they started to break away and have the earth that we have now.
So like the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah, they used to all be together, and that's called Pangea.
I missed that in my college class, Maps and Landforms. Missed that.
Little history lesson for you. It's Chuck and Winkler on the Fan, 799-1250.
Sports Flash. Right.
We took the lead. It was 0-1, I think. Made a couple bad turnovers. That's the ball game. You know, in crunch time situations, you got to take care of, you know, the basketball and get a quality look. We gave ourselves a chance to win, even though we played bad. I mean, like I said, we can't harp on it.
Eric Bledsoe. Looking like the Eric Bledsoe of last year's playoffs. He had a really good game against Detroit, and then he's kind of just tapered off, and they need him. The Bucks are going to need him if they're going to get to the finals, make any sort of run in the finals, win the finals. You can't have your starting point guard be a liability. I'm Bart Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Chuck Freeman is in Toronto, Canada, where he has crossed international borders to the country he hates to bring you...
I don't hate it. I'm just not a big fan.
Bucks coverage.
You know what they do is, for their S's up here, they use C. Like, defense is spelt with a C in it.
I see.
Yeah. I don't see why they do that, though.
Well, they don't they do OU for like favorite?
Yes, that too. Yeah,
favorite.
Favorite. They do that in Britain, I know. Today's like their Memorial Day in Ontario here in Toronto, in Canada. It's Victoria Day to celebrate Queen Victoria. I don't want to go into the history of that. Nor do I even know the history of that, but I know it's Victoria for that reason. But I know it is Victoria Day, and today they're it's like you look out, and I'm looking out here. I'm on the 10th floor of this hotel, and it's like how Memorial Day is with us. There's no.
So is anything open? Can you even like do anything today?
I will find out. I will find out. Bucks have got to practice today. I'm going to hit later on, but I will find out, what Victoria Day actually means. Does it mean everything shut down? And I told you when I was here in the 90s, you'd come here on a Sunday and the whole downtown was completely closed. And when we had that reporter on, Alan, from a radio station here in Canada last week.
Alan Carter,
yes, good impersonation. He said that it's not that way anymore. You know, people are actually there's actually a pulse in this.
The Raptors are going to beat you guys in four games.
Yeah, well, you're wrong. Did he say four games?
They've got a better bench than you guys here in Milwaukee.
Have you ever heard of Jeremy Lin? Lin Sanity, former Nick?
What's the deal with Milwaukee? Nothing's open in this desolate, sun-bleached town.
And popular culture. Are you stuck in 1984, sir?
Yeah, he's about my age, that guy. But I think I'm going to be on his show, I think maybe later on today or tomorrow. But Giannis Antetokounmpo's got a new guy guarding him, Kawhi Leonard. Giannis, after the game, looked as frustrated as I've seen him after a game. His both of his feet are in ice buckets, which is the norm. His knees are wrapped up. And picture this scene. Giannis blankly staring ahead, his body covered with ice, and a fleet of 40 reporters standing, staring at him. Giannis is sitting there like he's in a room by himself. And yet there's 40 people standing right in front of him. And this happened for about 25 to 30 minutes as we all waited for Giannis. And finally, Giannis broke out of his blank stare, started taking off the bandages on his knees, and took his feet out of the ice buckets. And you thought he was going to talk to the media. Got up, stood up, put a towel around himself. He had his shorts on, walked to the shower, came back, went through his whole routine of putting his clothes on, stood up, and then talk to the media. It was a long process, about 45 minutes, but we were just standing there waiting for Giannis. It was like we didn't even exist. We're standing in front of here. He was so, after the game, buried in that loss and blankly staring ahead. Here, 40 people are standing right in front of him, and he wouldn't have been, he couldn't tell because he was so distraught after that game.
Bruce is in Milwaukee, 799. 1250. Good morning, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
Morning. Man, reality is this game was needed to be what the result was based on the fact that the dog needed to be brought out of the Bucks. Bledsoe and Middleton, they got some issues, but at the end of the day, the reality is they are being paid to do a job, as Giannis keeps saying. They're going to refocus, recalibrate, and re-get at it based on the fact that they don't take loss kindly. If any team out there in NBA that don't take loss kindly, the Bucks has proven that over this season. And so I think it's going to be a great year still for them at the end of the day.
You're right. To quote Giannis, at the end of the day, the new Giannis drinking game where he says at the end of the day, at least six times at his press conference when he's transitioning from word, from maybe one phrase to another, it's at the end of the day. So at the end of the day, he's right. I think Giannis is going. I think tomorrow is the new day with the Bucks, there's not going to be another bad performance like this. I'd be very surprised if they came out and Giannis had a 12-point night. Bart and Middleton, 9 point. Giannis. I mean, Middleton couldn't even hit an open shot, and even on a layup, he missed a layup 2 feet in front of him, wide uncontested layup, got it back and put it in. It's like, man, even those shots weren't falling for Middleton.
Unlike last night, walking downtown around the arena where we were, there was nobody, nothing. And what is it with leaving the carcass of the old stadium just there to bleach in the sun like bones of a whale?
So now you're coming at
I'm Alan Thick.
Why do they call it the Bradley Center?
I think they should leave part of that Bradley Center up, though, by the way. I like it. I like how it looks. They leave the Colosseum up in Rome.
I don't. Oh, I don't.
I like it.
No, I don't. Last time I checked, last home game, there was one little section that was still up that they haven't knocked down yet.
There's one on the far side, and then there's one on the near side. So there's two little sections.
Oh, there is two, yes.
And then there's just rubble in between. 799-1250.
Mahalo, Bagalulu. Check out.
KJ, what's up?
Aloha, Frames. Aloha,
KJ.
Ledge. Hey, happy belated birthday, Bart.
Oh, thanks. The Bucks ruined it.
Yes.
No.
Happy belated birthday. You didn't make a big deal of it. I just saw it on Twitter.
Yeah, and Chuck, hey, I heard you tell a caller, Kevin, earlier this morning that you walked from Wisconsin to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be exhausted after that walk, Chuck.
It's been an exhausting 52 years, KJ. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Think Kawhi Leonard is exhausted and Giannis is exhausted, they haven't walked in my shoes.
But you know what? Giannis is going to come back in the next game. I proclaim this series to be over. It's over.
KJ.
And Giannis is going to come back with a vengeance in this next game. When have you ever seen Giannis score 12 points and foul out a game? We're talking about the potential MVP of the league, okay? Not getting any calls. I think he went to the line maybe 3, 4, 5 times. And then the potential defensive player of the year falling out on, by the way, what was actually a charge and not a block.
Yeah.
And for a 6 foul. That was ridiculous. Bledsoe obviously did not play well. Middleton did not play well. And we've already talked about Giannis having a poor game. But the whole thing about it was the rotation. I really think that George Hill and Brogdon, and no one's talked about this, but Connaughton should have been in that. They should have had more minutes for Connaughton.
Just 12 last night from Planet Pat.
Yeah, and he was, I think it was 3 for 3 from the field. He's an energy guy. He rebounds the ball. He didn't get minutes. When they took Bledsoe out, and I rightfully so, at the end of that game, and then they put him back in. They took Hill out. Hill can shoot as well as Bledsoe, if not better than Bledsoe. He drives the ball. He's a distributor of the ball, facilitates well. He should have been in that ball game last night. But the whole thing, and here's the thing about the referee. There's no consistency. There's no continuity in NBA refereeing, especially in these playoffs. When you go into a series like the World Series or the playoffs in baseball, you have the same umpiring crew throughout the series. When you get into the NBA playoffs, you have a different refereeing crew.
Would it be better if they had the same crew? I don't know if it would be better or worse.
I just don't like the fact that there's no consistency in the way that they call the games. You don't know what you're going to get from minute to minute, from quarter to quarter, and from game to game. You just don't. The fact remains, there's no. I saw points in that game at the end. Giannis got fouled 3 times on one play. He got raked in the face by Danny Green. He got hit in the side by Kawhi Leonard, and then they finally called a foul on Gasol 3 times. That's when Giannis went down on the ground because he got hit in the face. He got hit 3 times, and they finally called it. And they could have called it on any one of those 3 guys. You know, and they just did not have any consistency on the way that they were calling the fouls. Then they're calling ticky-tack fouls on the other end of the court. I get it that the NBA wants to see another game in Milwaukee.
I don't know that that's true.
So you're saying they're in on this? I don't know.
What I'm saying is,
Bucks had to play historically bad for the refereeing to even be in the conversation.
Yeah.
And they play historically bad.
This did cross my mind, though. And, with David Stearns was the commissioner, or David Stern, I should say. David Stearns is our GM, the Brewers GM. David Stern was the commissioner of the NBA. I would think like that. I would be thinking, is he orchestrating things? So I didn't trust that guy at all. Because that Golden State-Portland series is just about over. And is he trying to extend this Bucks-Toronto series to get some juice out of this? Because the NBA Finals cannot start until a week from Thursday. They're not starting that any earlier, so a week from Thursday. If both of these series finish up early, I'm just saying a conspiracy theory, if both finish up early, they're going to have like a week between games. They don't want to have that done.
You know, I didn't like the refereeing either, but look at Middleton and Brogdon, or Middleton and Bledsoe and Giannis, I mean, what were they combined?
Bad for bad.
Yeah, 11 of 200.
Six for 32 for Middleton and Bledsoe.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I didn't like the officiating either.
Yeah.
But I don't think the NBA is dictating from above what should or should not happen. Otherwise, there's no way Golden State would have won on Saturday night. There's no way Zion Williamson would be a Pelican come July.
Again, I think with Silver, he doesn't do those sort of things, but I think Stern definitely did.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Chuck Freeman, live in Toronto, thanks to our friends at the Q Club of Wisconsin. You're home to watch all the playoff action, and you can enjoy their huge indoor game room on Facebook or at the theQClubofwi.com. That's Chuck. I'm Bart. We want to hear from you. 799-1250. The Bucks fall in Game 3. What it means for Game 4. Next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.